Welcome to another episode of the Leaders in Education podcast, the official podcast for the Charlevoix-Emmett Intermediate School District, featuring voices in education. Today, I am pleased to be talking with John Wilcox, Petoskey Middle School Principal and 2024 recipient of the Principal of the Year Award from the Michigan Association of Secondary School Principals. John, thank you for talking with me today. So you have more than 20 years of experience in education, the last nine as the middle school principal here in Petoskey. Can you tell our listeners about your career path and what you've done over the last two decades?
Sure. You know, it's I always thought I would be in a high school setting. When I went to college, I wanted to be a high school biology teacher and a wrestling coach. That was my goal.
Pretty specific.
Yep. I had an idea of what I wanted. And then I got placed, and this is back in the day when you couldn't have any input on where your student teaching experience was.
Right.
You'd get in trouble if you contacted and tried to set it up yourself. So I got placed in a junior high. It was Traverse City West Junior High. And I was okay with it, but I wanted to be a high school. And it was a great experience. Taught ninth grade biology with a great mentor teacher. She taught me a ton. And then after that, my wife and I, we went to a job fair at Central Michigan University, and make a long story short, we moved to rural Alaska for two years, and we taught in rural Alaska. It's Lower Kuskokwim School District. Wow. It's fascinating. We were not on a road system. The school district was the size of West Virginia.
Wow.
There's just a lot of differences between the Alaska education system and Michigan. But we learned a ton those 2 years. We learned that the value of relationships is paramount. I feel like I learned so much out there. Although it was great, it was a long ways from home. Mm-hmm. So we decided to move back to Michigan and got a job in Hart, Michigan, just, by the Silver Lake Sand Dunes. And I taught biology and I coach wrestling, kind of what I wanted. And I was there for 4 years, and that's when budgets were not good. Schools were experiencing those huge cuts, and so I got pink slipped. And I wasn't going to be returning to the classroom. They were going to bring me back as the middle school responsible thinking director.
Okay.
Is what it was going to be. And
Like assistant principal?
Right. Okay. So then I decided to just apply for assistant principal jobs around the state, and I applied for Petoskey, and I remember my wife saying, "Petoskey, like, we're not going to move there." And I said, "Well, just because I applied doesn't mean we have to move." And so I ended up getting the job, and it was a great fit. And I was at Petoskey High School as their assistant principal for 4 years, and then this position opened up. Dan Taylor retired, and I had heard that this is a great building with a good culture, and so I put my name in, and I've been here ever since, and he was right. It's a pretty fantastic building.
That's great. I did not know the Alaska piece. That's fascinating.
Yeah.
And I imagine, well, Petoskey would seem like a big city compared to...
Oh, absolutely. Were, yeah. Yeah, there was literally... students didn't know what concrete was. That was an abstract term because there just is not any concrete out there.
That's incredible.
But, yep.
Well, I'm not sure if I've told you, but I also spent a number of years as a middle school principal. This is before cell phones, before one-on-one devices were a thing. So I know that the job has changed quite a bit over the years. Can you share some of the biggest challenges that you face as a middle school principal today and maybe how you navigate them to ensure a smooth operation of the school?
Yeah. I think kids are still kids. They still have the same hopes and dreams and fears and, I don't think that's changed. I think their access to information, their access to each other is vastly different. Social media has added a whole new complexity.
Sure.
And I think it's, pre-social media, students had at least a break from their peers when they went home.
Mm-hmm.
Now they don't have a break from their peers. They're constantly connected with their peers. And I don't think that's always a good thing. I think having a connection with parents at home, with grandparents, with siblings, I think that's important and there's got to be time for that. But social media, I would say a majority of the issues that we deal with stem from
really?
Social media.
Okay.
In terms of conflict, you know, between students. I will say it does seem like, and I just talked to Trooper Hebner about this yesterday, it seems like the last couple of years there's been a shift where, you know, students still have cell phones, mm-hmm. But there's been a shift in access to social media. I feel like...
In a good way.
In a good way.
Okay.
I feel like there's less students that are allowed, you know, from their parents to have a social media account.
Sure.
And I hope that that pendulum keeps swinging that way, yeah. because I just don't see a lot of good. Adults have a hard time managing it appropriately,
right.
let alone an adolescent kid who is still in that process of brain development. And yeah, so that's added a huge thing.
You mentioned the constant connectivity. I mean, that goes for staff as well. I can imagine.
Yeah.
I mean, we know that that's changed. That now 24/7, they're yep. called upon to respond to whomever, parents, students.
Yeah, and COVID amplified
right.
that.
Right.
You know, and we were on. We talked about this as an administrative team here in Petoskey that we're during that time especially we were on 24/7 because mm-hmm. you didn't know what piece of information was going to come. You had to quarantine kids and make
right.
phone calls at night and. It just, you're just on. So, I don't know, 2 years ago, I think, whenever we were coming out of, you know, the height of COVID, we decided as a staff to kind of set some parameters for ourselves. And
good.
If you don't, if there's an emergency after 6 o'clock, sure, call, email, whatever. But if it can wait, let's mm-hmm. wait. So 6 p.m. is kind of our cutoff and, use that schedule send function a lot, you know, because
yeah.
if you need to send an email and want to get it off your brain, you can still write it, but hit schedule send
right.
out of respect for the person that's receiving it so that they can enjoy their family. So yeah, that's a great point. The constant connectivity is
yeah
also a challenge for adults.
So what does a typical day look like for you if there is one?
There's not. You know, you always have a plan and a to-do list. And you try to get through as much as you can, but you could be tied up in your office easily all day, every day. But I think it's important to get out in the hallways and give kids high fives and,
mm-hmm.
you know, do all that kind of stuff. But yeah, there's a lot of emails.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like is a huge portion of the day. And, but that can't be the only thing. And the other thing I think is try to always keep the main thing, you know, and we're here for kids and trying to make
right.
this the best experience for our students. So, yeah, there's not a typical day though.
So what time when does the bell ring in the morning?
To start the day,
yeah.
8:15.
Okay. So what are you doing at 8 o'clock?
At 8 o'clock, I am usually in the foyer or walking. We have different areas where students enter
mm-hmm.
the building, so I usually try to go mingle in one of those areas, and also, you know, making sure that we're staffed for the day,
right.
making sure that subs are here and, you know, that everything's covered.
Because that's a big challenge today that wasn't a challenge years ago, right? Just having people to fill
yeah.
roles.
Yep, we had to come up with a whole new process on making sure that we have everything covered. So
mm-hmm.
every morning I have a spreadsheet and I look at the sub list and who doesn't have a sub, and then I put that in the spreadsheet and fill in who's got a cover.
Okay.
So yeah, and then I send that out every morning. So that's usually, you know, between 6:30
right.
and 7 o'clock that I'm doing that, just to make sure that they were covered. But at 8 o'clock, making sure everything truly is covered.
Right, right.
But yeah, no, that has been a new challenge. Although I will say it's gotten better. The last year or so. Our
Why do you think that
is?
Just larger, more people willing to sub nowadays?
I think so. And I think, you know, during COVID, it was the fear of the unknown.
Right.
And I think that fear has tampered a little bit.
Okay.
So I think people are willing to come back.
Right. Well, I'm pretty sure that we agree that one of the most important things a principal can do is create a positive school culture. What are some ways that you're doing that here?
Like I said, keeping the main thing, we focus a lot on the full value agreement And that's just how we expect people to treat each other. And it's not just kids, it's adults too. So we expect everyone to work as a team, to be safe physically and emotionally, and to speak up when something's not right. So if I feel like we are constantly focusing on that with each other and with students, and just keeping the main thing the main thing. We also have our Northman Drive, which is our PBIS structure. And so constantly referring back to that and trying to live by that and lead by that. Those are the two main things. And then probably the most important is just listen. You know, every day I hear from parents, I hear from students, I hear from staff, and sometimes it's good stuff, and sometimes it's, you know, here's what I'm thinking about doing, are you okay with it? And sometimes it's bad stuff. And I just think truly being present in the moment and listening when people are talking and trying to find, you know, even when someone is, you know, really upset and you can't wrap your head around it, trying to figure out what is that thing that we can agree upon and move forward with and improve. So that to me is the biggest thing, is truly listening.
So it sounds like you're actually living into the full value agreement.
Yeah, I try to. That's for so sure. It's definitely a goal.
So, you know, clearly the job of principal is complex and it can be demanding at times. What do you do to stay sharp, to rejuvenate and maintain balance in your life?
I recently went to a superintendent preparation academy through Michigan Leadership Institute.
SOOPS Academy?
SOOPS Academy, yep. And the guy had a great piece of advice, one of the speakers. He said, have a supportive spouse. And then he said, have a dog for backup. So I'm lucky enough. I have a very supportive spouse. My wife is, you know, she's great. She reminds me when to turn it off. And I think that's needed. My family, we have four kids, and they are in the prime of being involved in everything. My daughter's in the play. She plays soccer. All of our sons are currently in baseball. And, you know, they're just really busy, and living in that. We do a lot of camping together. And then I also, we have 10 acres, and we decided that we wanted to start a little Christmas tree operation. So I grow Christmas trees on the side.
Time, huh?
Yeah, and, yep. And then we've got honeybees, too. So
All
that stuff keeps me busy, and, you know, it's nice to go work on trees and bees that don't talk back. And
it's a project that you can see to completion right away.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of supportive spouse, for her to move to Alaska with you, that's a pretty good indication to support. Yeah. Or was it her idea?
For sure. Well, it started off initially as her idea.
Okay.
Because she had heard that they paid for student loans, which wasn't true in the district we went to. But, you know, the compensation was good out there. But, yeah.
Now, I just got to do a bird walk and to ask you about this Christmas tree thing. So my understanding is you've got to be thinking years ahead, right? Because you're planting a tree now, it's going to be 10 years, right?
Right. It takes a long time for them to grow. And we just started. It was during COVID that we had to drive quite a ways to find a Christmas tree, you know, that you cut down yourself. And so we just decided, hey, you know, we can do this. And it's small. It's nothing. But, you know, I think we've got 1,100 trees right now, and, you know, just every year plant a little more. And yeah, it was planning out the plots of land and which species of tree is going to be here and how much room is there to keep adding. And
have any gotten to the point where you can sell them?
No.
Okay.
No,
so you're still a little ways out?
Yeah. Yeah. Still a little ways out, but it's fun. It's nice to work. You know, all the kids are out there helping me plant trees in the spring and mowing in the summer, and it's fun.
Well, I really appreciate your sharing that. It's so important, as you know, to have something outside of the normal day.
Absolutely.
To keep you sharp. And so, you know, there's been a lot of change in education in the last 9 years since you've been here. Some of them probably stick out as positive and some other less than positive. What are a few that rise to the top as maybe positive changes and some maybe that you're concerned about?
Yeah, I would say positive changes system-wide. I think there's more of a focus on the whole child.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's not all just curriculum. It's never been just curriculum.
Right.
But but I feel like there's more intentionality on focusing on supporting the whole child. So that's definitely a positive. You know, we've added behavioral health therapists in our building, buildings. Mm-hmm. And I know that that's the case, you know, in a lot of schools. And, I just think that perspective is growing, and I think very positive.
Good.
You know, in relation to that too, is restorative practices. I think that's important. It's, you know, kids make mistakes. That's, mm-hmm. I mean, we've all done them.
We've all made mistakes.
What I talk to parents about is, you know, we've all made those mistakes. Like, this isn't the end of the world, and, mm-hmm. and we can learn from this. And making it a learning opportunity versus a punitive opportunity,
right.
You know, and I think there's a lot of validity to that. Is, sure. You know, how do we fix the wrong? And because we've all made it, but that's good.
Anything alarm you? Or
yeah,
you
there's
concerned?
The amount of anxiety that we're seeing with kids is raised, and I don't know necessarily what the cause is. I think we put a lot of pressure on kids to succeed. We put a lot of pressure on kids to be the, you know, the starting guard in the basketball team or the starting shortstop, or, you know, I think there's a lot of or get the perfect score on an ACT.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think there's just a lot of pressure on kids. You know, so that the level of anxiety, we've seen an increase in that. And the other thing that worries me is we've been kind of protected from this teacher shortage here in Petoskey because this is a destination district, a destination mm-hmm. area. But the teacher shortage is real. And I know, I appreciate the state is doing things to, you know, make it easier to get a teacher
right,
certificate.
Right.
But I don't know. I worry about the teacher shortage.
It's going to take a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think the lack of a true pension system.
Sure.
I wish that was still there.
So is there any advice that you would give somebody who's thinking about a career in school administration?
I would say it'd be the same advice that I would give a teacher, someone looking to go into teaching. It's a hard job, and there's days that you feel like you're beating your head against a wall and you're not sure if you're making a difference. And then there's other days where you're absolutely sure, like, this is awesome. It's, you know, euphoric. You feel like you're really making a difference. And, I would say do it. I never, like, it's day to day. Some days you struggle with, you know, am I making a difference? But I never wonder truly, like, is my job important?
Okay.
I know it is.
Yeah.
And there's a huge reward to that, intrinsic reward. So, yeah, it's a great job. I think leaders do have a huge part in the culture of a building, and you know, when you create a master schedule and you work on it all summer long, all spring and all summer, and then the first day of school every kid's in a classroom and every teacher has an assignment and you feel like I did it.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
there's those moments that are pretty powerful. And you know, there's, for an administrator, you have more of an opportunity to have one-on-one conversations with students that are struggling with mm-hmm. a lot of different things. So,
I really appreciate your perspective. You're not saying it's not a tough job, but to have your eyes open, and it sounds like the balance sheet of the job is still in the black. The
yeah.
good things outweigh
oh,
the
for sure.
challenges.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So you're recently named Michigan's Principal of the Year. And you're not done, right? The next step is to compete for the national title. Can you talk about that process and what you're looking forward to?
Yeah. So in mid-October, I get to go down and represent the state of Michigan in Washington, D.C. So I'm not entirely sure of all that entails, but there is a national competition. So I've got to complete some paperwork for that. But it'll be exciting to go there. Yeah, looking forward to it.
That's great.
Yeah.
So I've been talking with 2024 Principal of the Year, John Wilcox. John, is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, other than just this Principal of the Year award. I feel like it's a testament to our team here at the middle school. I said this before, and I don't think it's an award that one person can take credit for. It's a team, a culture that's been here, and you know, I'm thankful for everybody around me.
And what you just said is likely one of the reasons that you were nominated.
Well, thank you.
Well, John, thank you for having this conversation. The work you do is so important. I'm proud to call you a colleague, and I look forward to working with you in the years ahead.
Thanks, and thank you for all you do to support our local districts.
Thank you for listening to the Leaders in Education podcast. Please check out our archive for past episodes. And remember, the great thing about learning is that you never have to stop.